You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
www.londontaxiradio.co.uk. We play what you want to hear.
First, we had Russell Howarth and Ubered. Then we had Prius drivers being dragged through the magistrates' courts. We had a crowdfund and an identical JR by the LTDA. We have the VAT case and Dave, the black cab lawyer. TfL's licensing trial. the Employment Tribunal and the Reading case. To top it off, we have a 1.3 billion litigation against Uber. Maybe. Let's just hope it doesn't go the way of the identical JR. Good afternoon, listeners. Coming up on today's show, we'll be looking at the engagement policy and the minutes that were never taken. Spain held their protest for 8 days. Do you think we could do the same? Judd Street looks set to close, but Camden are acting in complete disregard for their residents. And Westminster City Council take out an injunction on the Swiss Cottage cycle superhighway. McNamara's son, working for Volvo, a subsidiary of LEVC. They really don't help themselves, do they? Airport Matters, taxi app and the branch meetings at the LTDA, plus the 12,000 feet parachute jump for the taxi charity for military veterans. Ursula and Myrna will be sharing their delights from High Holborn and the Smithfield area. And of course, we have TaxiLeaks News Desk. There's Taxi App and there is London Taxi PR. We've been given a 2-year window. What would you do if you were given 2 years?
listening to London Taxi Radio.
He's really good.
Yes!
It is not that funny.
When the night has come, when the night has come and the land is dark.
Slow it down just a little, shall we? There's a hell of a lot happening this week. It's hot again as well, isn't it? It's funny because we had one shower of rain and it felt like autumn. It's as easy as that. But it's back there, isn't it? It's back warm again, very warm. Hate to think what it's like without air conditioning. How are you doing anyway, listeners? This is Sean Paul Day and I'll be with you for the next hour or so. Got a lot to talk about, haven't we? And a lot is happening. We also have to take stock, don't we? A couple of things are emerging that I didn't just put in the opening tiles there, but we'll be covering a number of things. One of them being the engagement policy. Now, I've had a bee in my bonnet about the engagement policy for an awful long time, and I know we demonstrated outside of Palestra when they continued with the old engagement policy when the new admin, that was Sadiq Khan's office, took place, and we demonstrated against the old engagement policy still being in place. Apparently, and it's a case in point, the new engagement policy was stricter than the old engagement policy. Now, I have to question why anybody would want to be part of a behavioural clause, because that's what it is. Effectively, you sign into certain conditions and you can engage with TfL. Well, my big problem with that is the end game shouldn't be round the table. The end game shouldn't be engaging with TfL. The end game is results, isn't it? And I think the engagement policy has been used to get a good gauge on the cab trade. Get a good sense of where the cab trade was at, whether they could do something, couldn't do something, but get a feel of what the mood was in the cab trade, but gave the cab trade nothing. Nothing has been gained from the engagement policy. So a good behavioural clause, hence good behaviour, means you get nothing. You don't get rewarded for behaving well. You don't get rewarded for not defaming the brand TfL. You don't get rewarded for not demonstrating. You don't get rewarded for highlighting the corruption that has gone on within the confines of TfL itself. You don't get rewarded for anything. You would have thought you behaved well, you get rewarded. Maybe they think you've signed into an engagement policy. Maybe they think, or do they know, that the trade is happy just to be around the table. I know they're not, but that's not the case. The reality is the trade hasn't benefited one iota by being around the table. And yet, they've got a good gauge on where the cab trade's at. I say, and Mick the Brit approached this on his show last Friday, the engagement policy should not be without minutes. So every meeting, minutes should have been taken. That makes it an official meeting and can be referred to, can be referenced, can't it? No minutes ever took place at a TfL meeting. So therefore, you could say no meeting officially has happened. And what has come to light is Helen Chapman. Helen Chapman, in one of those meetings with every organisation there, it was an all-trade meeting, Helen Chapman told them that they was having to suspend 13,500 Uber drivers, mainly Uber drivers, pending them resubmitting their DBS checks. Yes, because it transpired, and this was only found out recently, but it transpired that TfL had been farming out DBS checks to a private company that invests heavily in Uber. Now, when we made a big deal, when we had a shout up about taxi drivers having to wait sometimes 3 to 4 months, and I know Super Cabby off CabChat, he certainly waited 4 months for his license to come through. When we had a scream up about that, because they wasn't issuing temporary licenses at the time, and Helen Chapman had refused blankly to reissue temporary licenses because they had been issued before Peter Hendy put a stop to them, and she blankly refused to reissue them, taxi drivers were being held up for 4 months. They strongly opposed that when I challenged them at a meeting once. They strongly opposed it. They said it wasn't to do with them. They were honouring those licences. It was the DBS department. It was the police check that they were waiting on. Well, my argument against that was it was their system, wasn't it? It doesn't matter. 2 plus 2 will never equal 5. It was their system. Every cab driver has to go through their system before they were relicensed. Now, you've got cab drivers here that have been working and had a good record, a clean record for 20 years, maybe 30 years, and yet was being held up by TfL because their DBS check hadn't come back to TfL. All the while, there was hemorrhaging, wasn't they? Over 600 private hire licences every week. There wasn't licensing, was they? They were selling licences. But over 600 every week, minimal, of private hire licences were getting out there. They were coming out really quick, and taxi drivers were having to wait up to 4 months to be relicensed, not new licences, relicensed. There's a compensation claim there, I think. Absolutely. It's one of the real grievances I had, because they denied it. But it was their system. And so this comes about that 13,500 of these private hire drivers have to be suspended pending they get a reissue of their DBS checks. Subsequently, in an interview with Taxi Point a couple of weeks ago, Helen Chapman rescinded on that and said that actually it was only 2,500 and that 13,500 was a myth. Now, the evidence comes from every single trade member was there when she said 13,500 had to be suspended. They were there. They witnessed her saying it. But now she's come out and said that figure is a myth. The fact was they only required 2,500 to return the DBS checks to be relicensed. But they only wrote to 2,500. They should have written to 13,500. The thing is with it, no one can prove that she didn't say 13,500. It can't be proven. She can just say what she likes, can't she? And that comes about because there is no minutes taken at these meetings. Now, when we decided to record the LTDA branch meetings, we did so because of huge inconsistencies. The one was inharmonious with the other. Massett and Matt couldn't agree. Oddie couldn't agree. But they never disagree in front of each other. They say, oh, I can't do anything about that because Richard isn't here today, or Steve's on holiday. See Steve, and when you see Steve, oh, he wasn't there. He'll have to speak to Thomas. Now, the thing is with the branch meetings, and it showed the game up just a little bit, because what it did was, it was a concerted effort to bring all that into the one room, so they couldn't contradict each other. Or in time, the contradictions would actually fall apart. You know, you can't keep up the same old storytelling or deflecting, deferring away onto someone else or something else, which was what was happening at the time. So we decided to record them at the time because of the inconsistencies, the contradictions and the lies. There's an ethical issue about recording, isn't there? But when everything is working against you, they have the controlling capacity, they're the ones calling the shots, then you sure as hell know I'm going to record you. And if there's an inconsistency, if you are going to do us an injustice, then it can come to light, can't it? Absolutely come to light. Doesn't have to come to light until then, but if it does, absolutely. Have you banged to rights? It makes everybody accountable, doesn't it? And minutes make people accountable. Either she said it or she didn't say it in the meeting. She can't just rescind on it. And if she does, it could be shown up, can't it? Or, more likely, she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't rescind on it because it's been said and it's been minuted. Now, I know that Unite, when they've been in meetings, they've taken subjects or things that were said out of the minutes. As far as I'm concerned, that should be minuted, that Unite took certain subjects out of the minutes. Now, I understand if there's a confidentiality issue and it actually going into the public domain might compromise that. I do understand that, but it should at least be documented. But certainly, when you put a figure on something like that and it goes out in the public domain, that should be evidence-based, shouldn't it? And it can only be evidence-based if those meetings were recorded. Now, the fact that they haven't been means the trade, under this behavioural guise, haven't had a single official meeting with TfL. That's obscene. So I would say, and it really is down to TfL this, because their meetings with TfL, they should have someone there in the meeting taking the minutes by default. And I would say by the next trade meeting or trade meeting, minutes have to be in place. And I would look for unification across the trade to say, if they're not, they all walk out. Or they all record their own on a recorder so that minutes can't just be subjective. They all record them on a recorder. And so they can all keep a copy of that meeting, which can be referred to. But what I'm saying is, TfL has to be forthcoming. There has to be minutes taken. Otherwise, there is no point in that engagement policy. Now, the end game, and I'll go back to my original point, the end game shouldn't be round the table, like, oh, we've scored something here. We're round the table. At least we've got discussions. Because these aren't negotiations, obviously, are they? Because the trade is given nothing. They are not negotiations. So the end game is not around the table. We have our grievance, we have demands, and then we have a finite period of time. We have a line drawn in the sand that says by this time there has to be some kind of resolution. Otherwise, we continue with protests. And if you think protests don't work, Spain's just had a result, haven't they? They've had a result, they've come out, had a result. They've done, I think it was 8 days. I think the heat has got to quite a few of them, so they've called it off. But called it off with the agreement that the government will cap numbers. So if you think demonstrations don't work, this is sustained protest. We've never done sustained protest. But one thing's for sure, the engagement policy isn't gaining the cab trade anything at all, is it? Nothing. We missed an opportunity, really, with Spain. I think that could have turned into a real global happening, and it just might. Because when you've got nothing left, there's an awful lot you do, and there's an awful lot you wouldn't do, isn't there? So think on. I have a problem with the political route, don't I? And certainly the political route is embedded in the engagement policy. The engagement policy hasn't worked for the cab trade, that's for sure. So we're looking at Spain. Spain, incredible turnout. Did you see those? I don't know. Did you see the pictures? A great turnout. I mean, they don't have the numbers, or they don't operate by the same numbers as us, do they? But nevertheless, the knock-on effect, every city, and I know the DDD and members of the Real LTDA. They called one in support of the Spanish demonstrators. Outside, a dignitary was visiting the embassy there, and they called a flash demo on the embassy, and good turnout. Looked great. There you go. Support. Maybe it was those drivers that turned out that spun it for the Spanish government to say, right, we'll look at capping numbers. I have a thing about capping numbers. Now, I'm not quite sure how the system works in Spain or what the legality of their operation is there in Spain. And I know for them to be protesting, they're obviously protesting because there is a contravention of some kind. It'd be very difficult to protest if they met or complied with the regulations. Now, here, we've been told they comply with the regulations. Even Deloitte has backed them up in the case, in TfL's case, against Uber and the relicensing issue. Deloitte has said, confirmed, that Uber now complies. We've seen no evidence of this. Section 43 has been brought down on anyone who applies for an FOI, Freedom of Information. If you look and you go for an FOI and ask if you can have the details of the booking process, Uber's booking process, you won't be given them. Now, if they was above board, yeah, if they was above board, because there's a lot of public interest in this, and given the fallout, given the fact that there was 13,500 had to resubmit DBS checks, and given the fact that their drivers have been guilty of 2,500 plus criminal offences, and those are the only ones that have come to light, then you sure as hell know it should be in the public interest. And anybody that puts a block, a section 43, on a freedom of information request about the booking process, should be, you know, that should be castigation there. We should be in uproar that that is shrouded. We should be in uproar that there isn't transparency there. And the First Amendment of TFL's Bible, you could say, is transparency. The least transparent company, the most shrouded company I've ever known. But this should be in the public domain. You shouldn't even have to apply for an FOI, should you? It should be in the public domain that you could access this information. We can't just accept lip service, and that's what we're doing, isn't it? We can't just accept lip service. So we need transparency there. And until there is transparency, I take it they still are in contravention of the 1998 private hire regulation. So given that, I don't know what the legality is for them to operate in Spain. But they're aggrieved nevertheless. They might not have the grievance we have, which might be bigger. Our grievance might be bigger because they are in contravention of the regulations. And you see a turnout like that, and I think the knock-on effect could have caused a global disruption, would have readdressed the balance somewhat, because our trade, no doubt about it, been picked up, turned upside down and smashed on his head. And that's not Uber doing that, that is TFL. Which brings me on to the point about Class A litigation against Uber. Now, you could say Uber have admitted it. They've gone into court and admitted that they were operating as a transgression of those regulations. They've admitted it. And so you could say those are the people to go after because they've admitted it. They was acting illegally. TFL licensed them, don't they? Now, if TFL knew about this, and a lot of those emails suggested they did, then that means a corporate structure was formed between TFL and Uber to embed them in the system. So they were aided and abetted. But TFL has since turned round and said that they were hoodwinked. They knew nothing about it. Even the judge, Arbuthnot, asked who blindsided the judge in the meter case. Because if you remember, they did turn around and say, they did talk about the booking process very briefly, because it wasn't about the booking process, it was about the meter. But it was brought up, the process and the way they operate was brought up, just their working model, it was explained. And now you have a situation where TFL is saying, oh no, we knew nothing about this, they lied to us. They did do some research, they did put in their own limited research in 2014 and concluded that they was operating legally, and they've done nothing since then. Didn't really amount to too much that, and we did have a different administration which was firmly on their side. Not saying this lot isn't, because TFL is still the same people, really, all the same kind of evolvement, you could say. But they did do their limited research. Now, they are of the mind that they are illegal, but this is the thing, they say they've been hoodwinked. So it would be more difficult to go after TFL now. But if you're going to go after Uber, and this needs to be thought about very carefully, or you know, it needs to be thought about in a hurry, there is no time to waste, and I'll tell you why. At the moment, why the employment tribunal cases are being appealed, then the bigger picture here to Uber, the most important picture, what they need to succeed in more so is being defined as just the agent and not the principal. If they are deemed the principal, that means they will have employment rights and they will have to pay out lots of money for holiday pay, sick pay, maternal leave and all that. They'll have the same expectation as any employer. If they are deemed the agent, it means, well, they're just, you know, they're not an employer, effectively. And they just provide work and you can take it at will or leave it, as the case may be. But the big thing about it is they have to be declared like an agent or not the principal. So that's the biggest picture. If they lose that, and it looks like they've every chance of losing that, that's how it looks it'll go, then they've got to look at their private hire license. Now, the bigger picture, like I said, is the employment tribunal. And they have to say, for reasons of not being an employer, they have to say they don't take the booking. So the driver takes the booking, accepts the booking. The regulations state that it has to be accepted via an operator. But they are telling the employment tribunal that they don't accept the booking. The driver does. Now, you can see that for reasons of employment. Now, they have said in the court that for reasons of a private hire operator's license, they do take the booking. They've already said that, but they say that's only for that operator's license, not for the employment case. So you see what I'm saying? They contradict each other in somewhat. They're opposed to each other. So if they lose the employment tribunal, which is likely, as I said, they will go hell for leather to try and secure the legality of their private hire operator's license, because they'll have nothing else to lose. Why that case is still being appealed in the employment tribunal, you could say, right, okay, we've got to go for it now, because once that case is over and they've lost it, they'll have nothing to lose by just trying to defend the booking process and its legal booking process for their operator's license, because that's all they have left. So you've got to do it before the appeals of the employment tribunal are done and finished with. We'll be back just after this.
Of all the years I ever knew, those final ones I spent with you, I would give everything I own, give up my life, my heart, my own. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. You taught me how to cry. I don't know why.
This is London Taxi Radio. Get involved. This is London Taxi Radio. Get involved.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
Oh,
Okay, coming up, we've got the lovely Myrna and Ursula. I think they're in High Holborn. Can't think of any pubs in High Holborn. But anyway, they'll be round and about sharing with us their delights, and she'll be joining me in the studio as well, Myrna will, just after this. And we'll be hearing from the lovely, the delectable Frances, and she'll be talking about her 12,000 feet parachute jump. That was for the military veterans, taxi charity for the military veterans. A fantastic charity, that one that she brought into the public mindset by going on to the, or winning the lottery award. Now, a great win that was, because a lot of our charities, they don't get the recognition they deserve, and they should. And this is one that was very close to Frances's heart, and she won the lottery award and was invited on. And it is a fantastic charity. I know that we do the V-Day down at the Cenotaph there, and they go to Normandy on trips, they go to various trips, but one of the charity events is a parachute jump, and this year was from 12,000 feet, and Frances and four cabbies completed this jump. So she'll be talking about that, and what a fantastic achievement. I know that I can't even stand on the third rung of a ladder without getting vertigo, so I really do take my hat off for anybody who jumps out of a plane at 12,000 feet. Jumps out of a plane, and Frances did. Great stalwart and friend of the cab trade as well. She's a bit rough around the edges, if you ask me. She drops her H's, and she's a bit plates of meat and all that, apples and pears and all that business. Bit too much for me, but she's a great, great representative of the cab trade. And it's brilliant to have someone like Frances who isn't a cab driver, or entrenched, you could say, in the business itself. She's a layperson, but a great friend of the cab trade. I'll give her that. We could do with a few more, but they're not easily found, people like Frances. So thank you, Frances. That's brilliant. And that's the taxi charity for military veterans. Again, I'll put it up on the radio page, but you can still donate if you go to taxicharity.org. So great stuff. So we'll be hearing from Frances. And Steve McNamara's son, what about him having a job at Volvo? Now, I don't want to project significance where there shouldn't be too much significance put on something, but it is a bit of a conflict of interest, isn't it? And they don't help themselves, do they? I mean, this should have been outright and forthcoming, shouldn't it, right from the start? And then people would have said, well, he's been open about it, but it just seems like, you know, let's not make it into something it's not. It didn't make the cab 63,000 or whatever it is. It didn't make it hugely inflated. And it didn't make Uber cause us to take a knock in our income, did it? But nevertheless, it is a conflict of interest, and there are other vehicles out there that deserve the same exposure as the LEVC, so people and drivers can make an informed decision about the kind of vehicle they want to buy. And that's what we're looking for. And this doesn't help matters, does it? So we'll be talking about that. But now,
London Taxi Radio.
Last week's news headlines from TaxiLeaks News Desk. Two more Uber rapists are jailed this week. TaxiLeaks asked the question, were they on the list of fake DBS certificates that Helen Chapman vouched for? In an email to Mike Brown obtained under Freedom of Information request, General Secretary of the LTDA, Mr. Steve McNamara, called demonstrating cabbies loonies. TfL's £1 million hydrogen bus caused chaos in the Aldwych this week as hydrogen gas was found to be leaking. After the sixth taxi driver suicide, New York's Taxi and Limousine Commission is to seek a cap on the number of Uber vehicles in the city. And finally, a victory for common sense, as Westminster Council are awarded an injunction to stop TfL's Swiss Cottage cycle superhighway carnage. Breaking news. Licensing authorities in Spain have offered to cap the number of private hire vehicles, therefore striking cab drivers
have called off their action until further notice.
Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
Hey everybody, it's Jessica Simpson.
This is Beyonce.
This is Justin Timberlake.
Hey, this is Avril Lavigne.
This is Gwen from No Doubt.
Hi, this is Usher, and you're listening to
London Taxi Radio.
Tired and bored of driving around and around, looking at gormless people, looking at their phones, watching the car in front of you pick people up instead of you. Thinking about throwing in the towel and heading home. Well, don't. Join me tonight live on London Taxi Radio for late nights, Friday nights, chat and tunes with Mick the Brit. We're here from 11 p.m. and it might be worth staying out for.
London Taxi Radio, on the air, everywhere.
Good afternoon, this is your lovely Mrs. London Taxi Radios. If we don't tell you this, nobody else will. It's Ursula and Mirna.
Good afternoon.
Today we are around Holborn area, Charterhouse, Smithfield Market, Goswell Road. So our first place is we are again on spiritual journey.
Yes, it's our moment of spiritual fulfillment, Mirna. And it's in the very unpronounceable St. Etheldreda's Church. And that is near Holborn. And it's a Roman Catholic church dedicated to the aforementioned Etheldreda, poor woman or man, as the case may be.
Yes, for me it was very difficult to pronounce that. Ursula sent me there to have a little confession, and I must say I spent all day there and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I still not finish. I have to go back tomorrow and I have reserved the whole week.
Yeah, lots of Hail Marys. But out of interest, it's one of the oldest Catholic churches in England, dating back to Edward I's reign, Mirna. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
And it was opened in 1874 by the Catholic Church.
Early place. So remember, it's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful little place worth a visit.
Especially if you've got lots of confessions to make.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're full of guilt, you know.
Yes, absolutely. I have lots of confession, but I don't think I've got guilt there. You know, but I thought, hey ho, let's confess. You know, I have never confessed before, so let me confess now.
Where are we going now, Mirna?
Well, we're gonna go to Best Mangal.
Oh, are we?
Yes, we are. And it's a place when lots of Kebbi are visiting. They have restaurants as well on the Grazing Road. Every time I have been on Grazing Road, they're always giving us a good discount. They have a place at Old Street, but we are now in Charterhouse Street, and it's a Turkish restaurant.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yum. They have a very good vegetarian menu as
That's
well.
That's true. I can vouch for that. An absolutely brilliant falafel.
Oh, beautiful. And we've really enjoyed it. Atmosphere is nice and vibrant.
Yes, and the prices are good.
Exactly. So, Kebis, please visit the place and you won't be disappointed. Our second place is that I think that every cabbie knows, but I think it's worth mentioning. It's Kennedy's on Goswell Road.
Oh, that's the fish place, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't eat fish anymore, but I've seen this place is usually packed, isn't it?
It's always packed. And you know that the place is good. You know that the food is good when lots of black cabs are parked outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to tell you more, cabbies, because you know the place.
The fish
come
speaks
and
for itself.
Exactly.
Well, it would if it wasn't dead, but you know
I have fed her a little bit of chips in there. I was saying, chippy chips.
Yes, the only reason I went.
Yes. And now we're going to break every rule under the sun.
Because we like breaking rules.
We do, because Sean Paul Day told us not to go and visit the pubs.
But we're not listening, are we, Mirna?
No, but we did went to the pub.
We did.
We went to the Rising Sun.
Yes, we did. We went and the sun was indeed rising.
It was rising. Lots of drink. We didn't have any food, but if you like traditional English pub with a traditional English cuisine,
that's where you go. And I was having a traditional English drink with a very untraditional foreign bird.
I was having a very traditional glass of red wine, one after another, after another.
It wasn't a glass, Mirna, it was a bottle.
Well,
directly from the bottle.
It wasn't.
Okay.
This is. She again tried to smear my good name.
Shut
because
up.
I told you before, I'm 6 months older than her. Sorry, younger than her. I'm 6 months. That's drink.
Freudian slip.
Drink speaks for
what
itself. Drink, it's a drink. I'm 6 months younger than her and she can't get over it.
I'm eating up the jealousy.
And then after that, of course, we came out on the Charterhouse Street. We have... Oh, yes, I forgot to tell you that the place is situated in the cloth fair. So we come out, we hail a black cab.
We did. We waved, we jumped, we screamed. And luckily that time there was one around with its light on.
Oh, yes. Oh, I have to tell you the story.
Yeah, I have actually had some embarrassing experiences with a situation where I attempted to hail a black cab, but nobody had their lights on, and it was an emergency situation.
It was.
A total emergency.
On the bed. She was on the bed, blind date.
Never join Match.com, that's what I say.
And she was looking for the black cab, and she said to me, I said to her, how could you do it? She said, listen, it was no lights on the black cab, so she hailed the rickshaw.
Well, I was trying to lose my date for about 15 minutes, but he kept finding me. So there was nothing more to do than to linger behind and jump into any escape route I could manage, which happened to be a rickshaw.
It cost her only 450 quid, but apparently it was worth it.
I did have a sore ass, may I add, not from my date, from the rickshaw ride.
Well, on that note, cabbies, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
You got a pedestal and putting me on. apologise for the late running of the 1824 service. This will now depart at 1918 due to driver shortage.
Taxi! Taxi!
For those times when taxis aren't readily available, it's nice to know that technology and software is here to make our lives run more smoothly. Taxi App UK does just that. Download the app to your smartphone from Google Play or the App Store, or log on to taxiapp.uk.com. And next time you need a taxi, just click the Taxi App UK icon. Book and pay with several payment options available, including cash, credit card, and through the app. Taxi App UK is free to download and use and available across the whole of London. Funded, and owned by London's black cab drivers. Taxi App UK, powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
Now, more of your favourites.
The best radio station on the planet.
This is Sean Paul Day. I'm in GSS car park at the moment, and I'm with the lovely, uniquely vibrant Miss Myrna Bourne, and we've broken down, and I'm waiting for the mechanic to come. But someone said, we know this fella, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Don't we know him,
yes.
Myrna?
Yes.
Don't we know him?
Yes,
how do we know him?
I don't know. I just know that I know him from somewhere. Hold on, from... Caldworth Taxis!
Caldworth Taxis,
are
yes, of course it is.
Are you from Caldworth Taxis?
Are you Earthen from Caldworth Taxis? This is, we've got a superstar amongst us,
yes,
you know that.
We are.
You wait for a mechanic to come out and you get Earthen from Caldworth Taxis.
Direct from Caldworth Taxis.
Where's Caldworth Taxis, Myrna?
Just off.
Give her 10 minutes to think about it. Come on. It's like a breaker's yard, isn't it, that Cudworth Street? It's like a... Say hello. Say hello anyway, Earthen.
Yeah, hello there. Well, hello, cabbies. yes, actually, I'm come from the Cudworth Taxi Repairs Limited. So, as a Sean Day, bring me about 40 minutes ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah, 40 minutes. So, I reach him 40 minutes time. So, I'm here to help the cab driver anyway. So, I'm going to give him to his spare cab. It's taking to start for the work. And I'm going to wait here for the recovery. And then tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, is his cab is ready to come pick up from our garages. So thank you very much, Sean. You're taking my voice to everyone.
And I'm going to tell you what. He has brought us three-course meal.
Yes, get everything and a three-course.
You get service like these guys.
Everything and three-course meal included. That's Cudworth Taxi. That's Cudworth Street. Just up three-course meal. Any rentals, anything like that, or repairs, or bodywork, or anything like that, that's where you need to go.
Would you like to leave your number, Irfan?
Yes, the number is 078-530-99575. Any problem, any taxi, usually I'm a specialist for the Vito, but also I do it for the TX4, TX2, so no more TX1, but I'm a specialist for the TX1 as well. So any problem, anytime, you can use this number to contact me. Thank you.
And I can say I use Irfan Garage because he's connected to ID Taxis.
Thank you.
I turn up with my cab on the regular basis, sometimes just to say hello. And I must say I'm very happy with your service.
You didn't tell me you were just turning up to say hello.
Darling, I did, but you forgot.
Maybe. It doesn't get any better than that, folks.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
I'm joined by Myrna Bourne. How are you, Myrna? All right?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Sean?
All right. A good day, yeah. Are you in a good mood? It's warm again, isn't it?
I am in an absolutely fabulous mood. I couldn't be in the better mood.
She was drunk last night.
I was not.
Who wakes up in a fabulous mood when you've been drunk?
Well, I'm not working today, so I was entitled
to.
Oh,
well, you see, we could all get drunk if we didn't have to work the next day,
well,
wouldn't we?
This is why I feel fabulous.
Yeah, you look great as well.
Oh. Well.
In a smock, whatever it is you got on. No, we wear our casual wear when we're doing the radio. Sometimes
yes,
we might wear a thong sometimes.
Yes.
Not today, I hasten to add.
Oh, I thought you were wearing a thong. All I could see is your torso.
And what was I wearing?
I was hoping for a thong.
A thong, yeah, well, you know, I've got my summer physique on. Well, considering we're in the middle of summer, a velvet thong, all that would feel lovely, wouldn't it? That would feel absolutely lovely. So, What's struck you this week? What stood out more than anything else this week?
Oh, more than anything this week, for me, stood up our Spanish taxi drivers demoing for full 6 days, sleeping in the cabs, outside their cabs, in the tent. And I would just like to say to our London taxi drivers, this is how it should have been done.
Well, yeah.
This is how it's done.
Well, that is how it's done. I think they are more militant on the continent, though, aren't they? They will actually go the extra length. But it is a case in point, because I don't think we've done any direct action here. Not really. I mean, not direct action in the sense that we've really gone and taken it to them and said, OK, these are the demands, and until these demands are met, or until we get something out of this, we don't move. And I think that was the point in case with these. They got what they wanted, which was the government's going to implement a cap on the licences issued to rideshare. And that's the thing that was really affecting them. I'll just quickly go over that, because I didn't mention earlier why I had a little bit of a problem with a cap. And I said, because our regulation might differ from theirs, so it might not apply. But I have a real problem with a cap, because it legitimises them in the system. It says, yes, OK, you can come here, you can do what you like, and you can be in the system, but let's contain you. Let's try and get some kind of perspective on how we won't be affected by you. Well, no, they're illegal and shouldn't be here, you know. And by allowing them being here, by capping them or giving them some provisions that they have to abide by, basically says to every other company, oh, just come here, run roughshod through our democracy, run roughshod through our primary legislation, do what you like. Well, they didn't let Taxify do it, did they? So there's a specific case for aiding and abetting the corporate structure I was talking about earlier, the aiding and abetting of Uber. But no, they shouldn't be here. And capping legitimises them somewhat. What you say, Myrna?
No, I agree. I agree. I just wish that we are more robust. You are. But if the rest of the cab trade would be as robust as you...
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, there could be potential implications or consequences that come with doing that kind of militant protest. And I've already been labelled a militant. someone who stands up or willing to stand up against what the detrimental impact from an illegal operation is having on our industry. Someone who's willing to stand up and say, I'm willing to fight for that. You're classed as a militant. Now, militant, before anybody says you should be proud of being a militant, militancy isn't given that kind of positive example of something that's good or healthy. Militancy has connotations to extremism, and extremism in today's parlance isn't good. It's always used in the pejorative. So if someone calls you militant, what they are saying is you're an extremist, and that's not good. That my idea of militancy is just standing up for what you believe in, and the fact that you've been picked up upside down and smashed on your head. Now, come on, it's not if you demonstrate, it's not just for you, it's for everybody else and those that follow you into the profession, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But I don't think we've really been that militant.
No,
I mean,
it wasn't.
The thing is, there's never been those demands. And the demand is there, but we've never set a finite period of time, and you have to have a finite period of time. And I know the ITA was offered meetings with the TFL after the five-day demonstrations. They was offered meetings, but they declined to go to those meetings because they said they're not interested in meetings, which is what I was saying about the engagement policy. They wasn't interested in meetings. They wanted a resolution, and either you come with a resolution or a resolution that they could agree with, a compromise that they could agree with, or they would carry on protesting, or they would protest again, and that's the way it is. The meeting was not the end game. It didn't matter. They wanted a resolution, and I see them right.
I see them right too, my darling.
Okay. Is that it? Is that your...
Yeah, that is. That's my input, yes. That's my input. What else did I want to say?
You need to get back on the booze. You yes. can't shut her up
yes.
when she's
yes.
on the booze.
Yes, you had a hard night last
night. you were mentioning something earlier about the airport.
Yes, I did.
That's of interest.
I did.
Yes, wild things going on at the airport. What was you thinking then?
I was thinking about the information desk when they're sending, customers to a private hire and saying that we are too expensive. And I think I find the... Tweet.
Oh, okay, brilliant. Hang on a second. Okay.
Tweet of the week.
Well, she's just done it, hasn't she? There you go. She's done the tweet of the week. But hold up. There you go. Go on, Myrna.
This is from London Taxi PR asking Heathrow Aeroport. Please, can you explain how you educate your informational staff on the prices of London taxis? The information they are giving out, re my previous tweet, is falsely, hugely detrimental to the use of our taxis at the terminal. We wait your reply. And then I think we was discussing earlier on Alex White saying that maybe if we pay £1, I think he was suggesting it's something, and I had a tweet from here, from him as well, say, is it possible? It is possible. It would require a levy on the gate of approximately £1, but not straightforward to implement it. It has been discussed many times. And this is the thing that we was discussing, that we needed London Taxi PR, that we need to basically wake up and do our own stuff because nobody else is going to do it. And I think if we have our own desk at the Heathrow Airport, as Alex says, where they would show the customers the true prices of the black cabs and promote our industry, I think that would be absolutely fantastic.
Well, I was talking to Alex about this, and it beggars belief, really, because, I mean, it's incredible that this is the Heathrow Airport staff going around and saying this. Yes. That's what we take from this. Now, if that's not right, then I stand corrected, but that's what I take from this. This is Heathrow Airport staff going around advising people alternatives or advising them directly not to take black cabs or giving the impression that they're far more expensive than what they are. And this was come to light because of, I think it was Lee from London Taxi PR.
Yes.
He was down there and inquired one of them about how much taxis was, and that's what they said. They said over £100 just to come into town. Now, I think this is an atrocity. This is something that actually they really need to be dragged through the mill over. It's unbelievable that their system at the moment, whether they like it or not, is black cabs. And they're advising people not to use them. Now, I think, and this is something that we need to think about. They have had to give, I can't think how much it is, but it might be £1 to take per jobs or pick up at City Airport. Now, according to Alex, now this is what he said, and hopefully I'll be able to speak to Alex and get clarification on this. But Heathrow are looking for money. And if they're looking for money, we're in danger of something happening like Luton Airport, where it was open up for tender. Now, the thing is, £1 on the gate would secure a desk and information and fully staffed. That'd be something like £750,000 a year. That was by Alex's calculations. Now, he might have revised them, or that might be different. We wait for Alex to talk about that with. But nevertheless, those are the figures he gave me. So we say, for that, you would get a fully manned desk. Now, the thing is, we've got to think down those lines, because I think sooner or later we're going to start feeling the impact of what's happening in the airport in town. Because the airport is the first, isn't it? The airport is the first. They have to use you when they come into the country. If they don't use you, they're using somebody else. And quite often, that potentially anyway, that's who they will use while they are here.
Yes.
So you want them to use black cabs. You want them to have a good experience by using black cabs. So we all have a responsibility, those who work down the airport, all have a responsibility to represent the cab trade in town, and vice versa, you could say. But it looks like they're looking for money. If they're looking for money, that's the route they're going to go down. And they're seeing, oh, well, you've got all this, and we're looking for money. And they could get money from others. So it's not about if you implement £1. It's about how you go about it. Because I think you have to decide that you're going to do that. Now, I'm talking on behalf of airport drivers, and I don't work the airport. So if I'm out of order, or if Alex is out of order, and he is a rep down at the airport, if I'm out of order saying £1 could secure the profession, because you lose the port first, the knock-on effect will be in town. If £1 secures it, why aren't we already doing it? Now, like I said, I may be talking out of turn because I'm not an airport driver. Maybe I should be. Alex is a rep. He's the one who's advocating this. How you go about it, I don't know. But if you decide you're going to do it, then the conversation is, what do you do about it? So, and I think it needs to be done, because that's the climate we're looking at now, where they are looking at, and this is a big deal, isn't it, Myrna? This is a big deal when you got Network Rail at Paddington Station looking at all that land and going, you lot get it for nothing. You sure as hell know you've got peripheral businesses looking on that saying, we'd give you £2 million for that tender. Network Rail, that needs money,
Peter Hendy, his relationship with Network Rail. You're thinking, oh, look at this private land, and you lot get it for nothing. Now, it worked in their favour, didn't it? They need to move people en masse out of their station on a morning. They need to do that. But we've allowed a fleet to be built up, bigger than our fleet, that they could say, well, maybe a contract's, you know, maybe they could take it. You see, we've left ourselves in a very vulnerable position, which brings me on to Taxi App, Myrna, and you might want to come in on this because because Myrna has a dual role, you know that. She has a dual role. But it brings me on to Taxi App because Taxi App was all about having that technical solution that's organised en masse as a collective. So if it ever come, and we can't discount it, we can't count it out completely, if it ever came, like Luton, and believe me, those at Luton thought it had never happened to them, they were in shock. But if it ever happened where the stations, mainline stations, all the airports were opened up for tender, then you could only compete if you could operate or function as a collective. And it would have to be through our own technological solution. Because, say, if Get won it, you sure as hell know, you probably haven't the LTDA down there negotiating and come out and say, well, at least black cabs have still got the cab.
At least black cabs still serve at Heathrow. I hate these things, you know, when they go, at least black cabs, at least they're going into the black cab and they don't think what the consequence is going to be for the future. And this is when we let ourselves down, because we don't think about the future. We think about today. And I think maybe we should little bit wake up, wakey wakey, and look at it. And, you know, solution is right in front of us. And if we don't take it now, it is going to be too late.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. Well, yeah. And I mean, because if, like, we've got 2 years, and I did say this, we've got 2 years, and this is what would you do? What would you do if you was given 2 years? Now, basically, from City Hall the other week, and it was a poor showing, really. It was a poor showing. Nobody from the LTDA, nobody from TfL. Absolutely dire showing. But it was a wake-up call to all those who are in denial, thinking that the knowledge is safe and secure. The knowledge can't be propped up if nobody is coming through. And Dean Warrington from Wizz Air was candid in the sense that he said he's got 2 years. 2 years before the knowledge is not sustainable. 2 years. And so you won't have any scores in 2 years.
Yes.
It's not going to continue if it's not a sustainable licensing process. So we've got to think down these lines. What do we need to put in place? And maybe securing the airport by having that PR, by having a desk fully manned that could actually sell black cabs before they get to
exactly.
them, because that's what the private hire
and
companies are doing.
And why wouldn't you? Really, if you think, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? And you could say we never had to because we had regulation. But it seems now that regulation is going by the wayside. And I say, yes, reinforce that regulation. But we've also got to play a part and put provisions in place in case they don't. Because if we don't do that, then we leave ourselves open. We leave ourselves very vulnerable to being picked off by the money men. And when we talk about the money men, we're talking about the private hire industry and the corporate side of private hire industry that are very organised when it comes to lobbying and very organised when it comes to financial lobbying. Addison and Lee amended the cab order, didn't they? They amended the cab order without the trade even knowing about it. I was just up renewing my licence once at the old carriage office at Penton Street, and they used to put the notices up on the board, didn't they? Usually it was those who got caught drunk on Christmas they put up, but it did have a notice up there that the cab order had been amended. And it was there was part deregulation, and it suited Addison Lee fine, didn't it, that? So we're not immune to that happening. So what do we need to do? What do we need to put in place? Because we could say, yes, regulation should be there, and yes, TfL should be doing it. But we can bang our heads on a brick wall for 2 years if we like, or we can do something about it. We don't want to wake up in 2 years' time in the position we're in now and thinking we need to do something about it, because the writing is on the wall. We need to do it now. It's critical we do it now. So what do we need to do? London Taxi PR was right to highlight this. And what are we going to do about it? What is the airport going to do about it? If you're offended by what I say, tell me. But don't let it stop you doing something about what is happening down there with airport staff actively working against the best interests of the taxi trade.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Myrna?
Yes, I have to confess.
She has to confess. No, don't. Hang on a second. We've only got 40 minutes. Confess. How many Hail Marys do you need?
Oh,
it's off the Richter scale. It goes out of sight. Go on. Yeah. No, go for it. She's trying to do two things. If you can hear letter opening, that's what she's doing. So yes. If this is a bit fragmented.
I'm just multitasking because I'm a woman. No, I'm not. Yes, I have to confess, you know, Linda and me, we was talking about it.
This would be Linda Morris.
Linda Morris,
this is Save Taxes.
Save Taxes, Linda Morris.
Let's give Linda Morris a due because another, you know, she's there out there doing her bit, fighting for the cab trade, so let's give her a due. And the Save Taxi team, you know.
Absolutely.
A very lively page, so you could go to Save Taxi, have a look at their page. They're always very interesting.
Anyway, Linda rang me and we was talking, you know. Actually, Linda said, who do you think we should basically crowdfund it for our own mayor? Our own mayor for cab driver to become. And then we has choose you. It was between you and Courtney.
Me?
Yes, it was going really between you and Courtney. I'm your biggest fan and I think you only when it's come to the mayoral election, not when we argue during the day. And I think that you should be a candidate. Linda actually rang me yesterday and says, does he know what we are doing? I said, not yet. I will confess. And I thought, I'm going to confess on the radio live.
I've got Myrna and Linda behind me, so I've got it in the bag, obviously.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I would be a mayor.
No, I think, now joke on the side. I think that you would be a brilliant mayor, and I think...
What is that? Is that mayor M-A-R-E?
Do you know what? Yes.
Because I certainly would be a mayor for a lot of the people down there at City Hall. I think they deserve it, but...
Yes. We was just thinking maybe it's just a pipe dream, but it would be great if we could really crowdfund, because everything is about the PR.
Well, do you know what? Yeah, everything is about the PR, but crowdfund, yeah. The trouble is, that's where you get unstuck,
yeah, exactly,
isn't it? With a crowdfund, that's where you get really unstuck. But, yeah, the thing is, it's... I don't know whether it's... Somebody did say to me, oh, yeah, but they have to be, you know, they have to be very diverse in the way they treat things. I think things are very focused. The problems that are happening come down to... You know, just a very nucleus of things. You know
what
I mean?
Do you know what?
And certainly what's happening to the cab trade is symptomatic of what is happening to a lot of people. But the thing is, when they talk about going into a debate with whoever, Sadiq or Boris, whoever, they're dreadful. They're dreadful.
Totally.
If you think the mayor's job, he has a lot to do, it's very complicated, just look at mayor. You don't have to do anything.
The reason why I would choose you, I could think of the two reasons now.
Two? Yes. How about that? Not three?
First reason,
I
will give you three. I can give you 100 reasons, actually. But I can give you one. I think you've got a really big pair of balls.
Thank you very much. Well, I'll accept that, as you say.
So
that
I don't think, you know, like you have a Sadiq Khan. For me, Sadiq Khan, Boris Johnson, they're all politicians, really. They are here to enhance their career, and they would do anything. I think that you always, actually, I know that, you stand for what you believe.
I get them out at any opportunity. You
are not
that.
Afraid to speak. Maybe that was a better terminology instead of mentioning your balls.
Do you know,
I should say...
That's
you are not
twice.
Afraid to speak. Yes, yes.
That's twice, listeners. She
makes.
I'm now going to have to put it through, the watershed. But no, I'll accept that and I'll get them out at every opportunity.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it.
Yes, yes. And as we speak, you know what I mean? Here he is running around the garden. I'm joking. Another thing is, I think you are very knowledgeable. I think you are the only cab driver that know law inside out, and you can tie anybody in the knots with your arguments. What has happened to me with you on the numerous occasions, sometimes I'm thinking, I've got that one in the bag, I'm gonna tell him, and then I have to run away with my little tail, and oh, okay, you was
you
right.
Know what? You
I
know
hated
what?
It, I hated it.
I can blag it.
No, you can, and it's not only that you can, not so much
it,
that you blag it.
It is important. It is important to blag
yes.
it. It is important that you can operate
but
off
you,
on the
you,
spot.
Yeah, but I think that you use... information to your best abilities.
Well, if you're very clear of the facts, you've got to be very clear of the facts. I mean, if you're clear of the facts, that's okay. But you've got to be able to blag it on the spot. Be able to go right, okay. Because I think that's where most people come unstuck, isn't it? And Khan is very prescribed. That's why he takes time to respond to things like Grenfell Tower, because he has to. Right, he has to have it all written, and then he has to almost memorize it before he comes out and recites it.
Yes,
and you can
and
tell
I
he's doing
that
it.
That you would appeal to all the working people. You would.
Older?
And another
why
working
not
people working. Oh. I didn't say all the working people. And another very important thing about you that I know you are not for sale.
No, not for sale. I mean, everybody has a price. You know, when you look at the others, everybody, it seems like everybody's bought off. But I'm not really motivated by money, you see, and I should be a little bit more.
I know, I really get upset with you, and I'm thinking, come on.
I should be, because you know, business is business, isn't it? But I'm not, I can't, that chasing of money, and it's very difficult. But
and that would be refreshing in my...
No, the thing is, maybe the cab trade wouldn't be very happy. They'd be the ones you'd have problems with voting for you, isn't it? I don't know. You know what they can be like?
I know, but you know, I think, yes.
It's all good. Okay, we'll leave it there.
I just want to run your campaign. I want you to be a mayor of London.
I know you do, sweetheart.
And Linda.
And Linda Morris.
Me and Linda.
And Linda. But as I say, go and visit the Facebook page. They've always got lively debate there at Save Taxi. So you can always look at that.
You're listening to London Taxi Radio.
That's all from us today, lovely listeners. But you can get hold of us, can't you, at londontaxiradio.co.uk or contact the Facebook page. Go over and like it, and why wouldn't you? London Taxi Radio. You can DM us at London Taxi Radio or my personal account at Sean Paul Day. You can get hold of me, Sean, at londontaxiradio.co.uk. I'm going to leave you because we spoke earlier about Francis and the enormous achievement of jumping out from an airplane at 12,000 feet. What a magnificent achievement that was. And it was for the taxi charity for military veterans. And they can get hold of, you can get hold of them at info@taxicharity.org. But we'll put the details again on the Twitter page. So if you'd like to donate, and why wouldn't you? This was a fantastic achievement by Francis and four cabbies. But I'll leave you now with the words of Francis, and I'll see you all out there on the mean streets.
If this station isn't your cup of coffee,
then drink tea.
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 Drink tea.
Drink tea.
Drink tea.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
100% music. 100% news. 100% information.
Yeah.
100% guaranteed.
Loving this.
Thought you might say that.
It's hard to know who to thank the most for last Thursday's incredible day with the Red Devils. Clearly, obviously, one should thank the Red Devils first for looking after all of us that jumped for Team Be Lucky. The professionalism is just without compare. But I must make a particular thank you to the four cab drivers who gave up their time and didn't suffer nerves or fools. Mickey Calvi, John Southcote, that's Johnny Boy, Brian Heffernan, Rockney or Slaz, and also Dean Usden, I think, who some of his close friends refer to as useless, which he clearly wasn't, as he did a perfect landing. It was very bold and kind and decent of them to jump in aid of the taxi charity for military veterans. And then where to go from there? You know, there's our Chelsea pensioner, Mike Smith, and our Korean War veteran, Bill Parr, who also jumped in aid of the charity. It was a fantastic day. It was a fantastic experience for the whole team. And thank you all out there who have been giving us money for such a wonderful cause as this charity that you know I'm so fond of. The money is still coming in. We don't close the appeal until the end of September. So, you know, if you still feel you might like to give your support, please do. But I think the greatest support of all is a resounding three cheers to my fellow jumpers. So all I can say is thank you all very much indeed. Thank you. And I must also particularly mention John Parker, as he is on Twitter, who gave up very willingly his own time to come and do filming, which he didn't have to do, to put details of the jump out on social media for us, and to London Taxi Radio for giving us such excellent coverage. So, you know, great, great thanks and gratefulness and gratitude to all of you. Thanks very much.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.